Today I want to remind you that you are God's creation, formed perfectly well for His purpose. Amen. Amen. He has formed you very, very carefully. Every aspect of you is created for His glory. Amen. Amen. We are so different, yet each one of us, God has created us with very careful precision. When He looked in your mother's womb, He sees you forming up and He decides, He says, that is very good. Amen. Amen. He decides that that is very good. And so today, I want you to remember this. Even as we get into the Word, I want you to remember that you are formed in God's creation for a very good purpose. And let nothing that anyone ever told you about yourself bring you down, knowing that God cares about you. He formed you for His specific purpose. Amen. Amen. When God created man, these are His words. He said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." And in another version, He says, "And subjugate it, and rule over it. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." So you have to rule over these things. And God has said, "Go you and multiply. Go you and be fruitful." Amen. And this was God's plan from the very beginning, that we will be fruitful. However, there is a problem, because the devil, whose agenda is always to steal, kill, and destroy, he wants to take away your fruitfulness. And that is why every day we are wondering what is going on in our lives. Why are we no longer fruitful? What is going on in our lives? We are not as productive as we were meant to be. What is going on in our lives? Every day we are struggling, we are wondering where next. Because there is one whose agenda is nothing else but to destroy the works of God. And so God, by the power of Jesus, wants to cancel that out and bring life again in your situation. Amen. Amen. So we thank God that we have Jesus, who comes to give you life in fullness. He restores not just your life, He restores every aspect of your life, everything in your life that the enemy has ever taken away. His purpose is to restore and bring clarity in your life. He wants to restore and bring new life in you. Amen. Amen. So today we want to explore this topic of giving. I know that that scares many people. And when I speak of giving, you're probably thinking he's going to ask for another offering. You're probably thinking he's going to ask for the building project fund. You're probably wondering, what is he going to ask for this time? Our God is a God who gives. Amen. Amen. His desire is to give and to multiply what we have and who we are. Amen. In the first place, His desire is to see us prosper, not take away what we have. He wants to prosper you and me. Amen. That is His desire. But you know what? When we give our offerings, sometimes we forget how giving our God is. We forget that in the first place, every single thing that we have came from Him. We forget that every single thing that He gives us day in, day out, when we go to our workplace, we forget that that job, it's Him who gave it to us. It's very easy to forget. When we get in the flow of every day and we see the things that we have in our possession, we think, "Oh yes, I made that. I got that by my power." But you know what? God is looking to see if you're going to remember Him. Moses, the sound is still not good. Thank you. So today, we want to explore what God is saying about our giving. And today, I want to remind you that God, when He's looking for people to give to His work, when He's looking for us to give to His work, He is looking for people who will give passionately, for people who will give because they desire to see God glorified. He is not looking for people who will give grudgingly. He is not looking for people who will give wondering, why is He asking for my money? He is looking for people who will give beyond money, people who will give their hearts, people who will give their all, people who will give their homes, People who will desire to see his will done. Amen. That is what God is looking for. I will take you back to the story of Abraham. So if you have your Bibles, I'm sorry if you forgot your Bible today, then maybe you forgot where you are going. So grab your Bible, let us read. Let us read the Bible, amen. This is the word of life, amen. So grab it, we are going to read the word of God and explore what he says about giving, amen. If you don't carry the word of God on you, you are missing out. You are missing out. Be it on the phone, be it a big Bible that you carry on the back of you, on your back. It doesn't matter. The Word of God needs to go with you. Amen. Wherever you go, in your homes, in your school, in your workplace, wherever you go, do not depart from this Word. Amen. So hold on to it dearly. Amen. I want us to look at this man called Abraham. I love the story of Abraham. Because Abraham belonged, he was the son of this guy called Terah. Now this guy sets off on a journey. He sets off, he decides he's going to Canaan, right? And he takes his family, including Abraham. And what happens, he gets, I think the place is called Haran. He gets there and he settles. And that is the end of the story. He dies there having hit 200 and something years. That is the end of his story. We hear the end there. Now, we don't know whether this journey to Canaan was actually something that he had consulted God, but we know that his story ends in Haran. But you know what? God then calls on Abraham and says, I'm going to take you to another land called Canaan. And you know what? When God gets into that situation and God starts working with Abraham, God empowers this story and it becomes a completely new story. Amen. Abraham's story becomes different from what his dad experienced. So he doesn't hit 200 and the end of his story. He becomes a father of a great nation. And today we are here today because Abraham listened to God. Amen. We are here today as Christians, believers, people who are born again, transformed, sanctified, and made whole again because of this man called Abraham. He chose to believe God, he chose to trust God, and he walked with him. Amen. Amen. So we are not going to go back into his story of how he walked, but we're going to specifically look at his sacrifice. When he chose, he listened to God when he said, come and sacrifice your son. So today we are reading Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. The word of God has power. Amen. And when you read it, you will enjoy it. When you read it believing in God, you will enjoy every word that he says there. You will not get bored. You will not go to sleep because the word of God has power. Amen. So we read this morning. Now, after these things, God tested the faith and commitment of Abraham. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And he said to him, Abraham. And he answered, here I am. Because he had already been walking with God. So they are in conversation. So this is ongoing conversation. He is with God. So he knows when God calls. And so he responds, here I am. God said, take your son. And as if God to tell him, I'm not forgetting this, he says, you are only son. And in my version, he says, you are son of promise. So it's not as if God has forgotten that this is the son that I promised you. He knows that very well. But he says, the son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Say, this is your son. To you who are parents, you know how you value your children. I value my daughter very much. And I know when I'm told to go and sacrifice her, I'll be wondering, where is this going? And I will be in tears. And I will be struggling. Amen? Because I know that this is the end. I will not see my girl again. But you know what? God has a plan. Amen. Now, Abraham is not like me. This is what he says. Now, Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And then he got up and went to the place of which God had told him. So he is ready to go and do this thing that God has asked him to do. He does not know the story of what will happen. You and I know today from reading the Word of God that actually the story was different afterwards. But at this point in time, Abraham does not know that. He has no idea at all what's going to happen. He is just believing this God. Amen. The God who made him a father, he is trusting in this God. On the third day of travel, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his servants, "Settle down and stay here with the donkey. The young man and I will go over there and worship God, and we will come back to you." This Abraham was a man who worshipped God. Every time he experienced God, he offered a sacrifice to God and he worshipped God because he knew this God personally. Amen. Now, I don't know what your experiences have been. I don't know if every time you encounter God, you ever sit down and worship God, you ever go down on your knees and worship this God. This was the lifestyle that Abraham lived. What is your lifestyle like? When God saves you from a situation that you are scared of, what do? Do you just walk away? Do you just walk as if nothing has happened? This man, Abraham, worshipped God. Amen. And even as he was going to sacrifice his son, he says, "We are going there to worship God." So he took the wood for the burnt offering and he laid it on the shoulders of his son. And he took the fire in his own hands and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked together. And Isaac said to Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "Look, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." And so the two walked on together. So at this point, I don't know what's going on through Isaac's mind, but you can see from his questions, he's wondering, what is going on here? And Abraham, in his faith, he's saying God will provide a lamb for his offering. Amen. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. And he bound Isaac, his son, and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham, stop." He answered, "Here I am." The Lord said, "Do not reach out with the knife in your hand against the boy, and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect. Since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise." Then Abraham looked up and he glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham, typical of him, he named that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. Amen. I don't know what was going on in Abraham's mind at that point. He was probably shaking in his legs and saying, thank God my son didn't die. But you know what? He's seeing greater things. He knows this God, and God was looking at his heart. He was looking at how committed he and how willing he is able to give to this God. He was looking at how willing he was able to go beyond his own way of understanding. And today, my friends, I respect each one of you, and we all have an income. We all have resources. We all have what God has given us. And I appreciate that we all have needs. And I appreciate wherever we are in situations that I cannot imagine. Sometimes it's impossible for me to think of what situations you are going through. Financially, sometimes it's completely impossible for some of you to even make through the week. Sometimes it's even impossible for you to make through the month. But you know what? There is a God who hears you. Amen. There is a God who sees. There is a God who cares for your situation. And so when he's asking you to give, he's asking you to give your money, he's asking you to give your soul, he's asking to give you to give everything that you have, he is asking because he knows that he will be able to provide. Amen. In situations when God calls on you to give, there are people who will straight away say, yes, I'm going to give. There are people who will be at that very point saying, no, I don't have anything to give. And there will be people who will be thinking, I wish to give, yes, but I don't know where the money will come from. I wish to give my time to God, but I don't know where it will come from in my schedule every day. God is calling on you to give because he knows what he's doing. Amen. Our hearts need to be in the right place with God to know that God is able to provide. If your heart decides, if you decide in your heart that you are going to give to God's work, if you decide in your heart that you are going to give your time to God, then he makes and he provides the means for you to be able to give. Amen. He doesn't give after you have seen what you want to give. He gives after you have decided in your heart that you are going to give. Amen. Don't go quiet. Don't go to sleep. Amen. Amen. Our God is looking for a heart that wants to give. And so even when you are worshiping, God is looking for a heart that is ready to give. Amen. Amen. The song we sang says, I will serve no foreign gods. And these are not just idols. They're not just things that we form and put in front, you know, and start worshiping like animals or dogs. These are things in our daily life. These are things like social media. These are things like our jobs. We have decided that because of our job, we are not going to listen to God. We are not going to read the Bible anymore. We are not going to pray to this God anymore. He is saying, listen to me. I am the one who provides. I am the God who provides. Amen. The word of God continues to say this. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. And he said, by myself I have sworn an oath, declares the Lord, that since you have done this thing and have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your descendants like the stars of the heaven and like the sand on the seashores, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies as conquerors. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have heard and obeyed my voice. And so Abraham returned to his servants, and they got up and went with him to Beersheba, and Abraham settled in Beersheba. Yes, God was testing Abraham's faith. Amen. Amen. God always provides a substitute. God always makes a way. It doesn't matter what situation you are in, God always makes a way. When you decide in your heart you want to do something about what he's calling you to do, he makes a way. Amen. Amen. So remember, God is interested in you. So God is looking for people who are going to give sacrificially. Amen. God is looking for people who will choose to give by desire, by the desires of their hearts that they want to see his work done. Amen. Michelle, can I have my slide now? Thank you. So you're in this place every time, every day, where you have to choose. You can choose one of those buttons. Will you give? Will you take? And by take, I mean retaining what God has given you and he's asking you to give. And when he asks you to give and you decide, no, I'm not going to do anything, you're effectively pressing the take button. When he asks you to give and you press the give button, He does great things with your commitment, just as we've seen with Abraham. Amen. Amen. Now, giving as a sacrifice is what we've just been looking at. That is the example that Abraham shows us, that we are to give sacrificially. And in the same way, God gave his son sacrificially. None of us paid a price. None of us decided that they were going to do anything for Jesus to be crucified on the cross for us to see salvation. But God, in his heart, he just poured out and decided that he will give his son so that our lives will be transformed. Remember, at the beginning I said there's one.
More importantly, God is interested in you. Amen. God is interested to see his work done in your life. And that is why when you give sacrificially, he wants that you experience the breakthroughs that you have been looking for. Amen. He wants you to see what he has purposed you to do. Amen. But more importantly, he's interested in your heart. Not just your money. He is interested in seeing you prosper. Amen. Secondly, God is interested that you give for his good works to be done. He said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, he says this: "We are his workmanship, his masterwork, a work of art created in Jesus Christ, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in this, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us." Amen. Amen. God's work requires that we be there for others. And so, when he calls us that we do good works, he is looking for us to be committed to his work. Amen. He is looking for us that whatever we give will glorify his name. Amen. He is looking that whatever we give will raise people to rise up and believe in this great God. He is looking that whatever we give will glorify his name. Amen. His work requires to be done in this community. His work requires that we go an extra mile. Amen. It requires that when we wake up and we choose to spend time with God, that glorifies him. Amen. God is looking for every opportunity for us to receive blessings, and he's looking for every opportunity for us to be a blessing to others. So what is it you're going to do today to be a blessing to others? You are God's own workmanship, that you would do good works. You say, "I give my offering every Sunday. And maybe I visit people in hospital. And maybe I help the poor." But have you asked God what he really desires for you to do? Because more importantly, more important than you just giving, he is looking for you to give by faith. He is looking for you to give because he has called you to. Amen. God is interested in people. God is interested in sinners. God is interested in people who are sick. God is interested in people who are struggling every day, not able to meet their needs. God is interested in people like you and me out there. And what are you doing about those situations? God wants you to surrender to him, and then your good works become a blessing to people. Your good works become something that transforms lives. Amen. Every day, as you spend your money, God sees where you're putting your treasure. Because he knows that is where your heart is. And the word of God reminds us, you know what? God cannot be mocked. He knows. He knows where you are putting your finances today. I don't know. You can tell me you are giving your tithe, just like Abraham taught us to give our tithes.
But only God knows. It's between you and God. He knows what is happening in your life. He knows what is in your hands. He knows when you give, whether you are giving for His glory or not. He understands it all. He understands that you have needs too. Are you giving to glorify this God? And when we give by faith, the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God must believe that God exists, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So if you're seeking God, if you're seeking to give glory to God through your offering, God, the Word of God says, God is pleased with you. Amen. And that is giving in faith. That is giving, believing in God. Amen. Going back to verse 4 of Hebrews 11, the Word of God says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which it was testified of him that he was righteous. And God testified by accepting his gifts. And though he died, yet through this act of faith, he still speaks. This man Abel, he didn't do such an amazing thing like the other people we read about in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But you know what? His sacrifice that he gave by faith is what God was looking for. And so today we read the story of Abel because he gave by faith. And God is looking for givers who will give by faith. Amen. Michelle, let me have that slide to stay there. Thank you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abel gave by faith, and God is looking for us to give by faith. Do you reason through your finances and then decide, okay, now I'm going to give £5 because everything else is catered for? Or do you give because God has asked you to give? Which of the two is your style of giving? This is a challenge for you, and it is a challenge for me too. When you give, do you reason through your finances and settle down on an amount that you're going to give because you think that is right? Or do you give because God has asked you to give? How do you come to a decision to give? I believe we are in a season here. And the reason that God has put it in this season is very, very specific. And so when He's asking you to give, He's asking you to give because He knows what He wants to do. So do not be fooled. God cannot be mocked. He knows. He's aware of your finances. He's aware of your difficulties. He's aware of your situation. And He knows what you need. But He's still saying, I want you to give by faith. We are in a season when He's asking you to give, and I believe that time is running out because our days on this earth are numbered. Our days on earth when you can give so that God's work can be done on this earth are numbered. The clock is ticking. Whether you like it or not, it is ticking. One day yourself and myself will be no more. But you know, at that point in time, when we're in heaven, there will be no opportunities to give your offering. There will be no opportunities for you to help those who are in need. There will be no opportunities for you to reach out to the people amongst us that today we call on you every Sunday, every week, and say, give so that God's work will be done. That will be finished. It will be a new story altogether. Amen. It will be a completely new story. But while we are on this earth, Jesus is calling on you day and night. He says, do something for my people. Do something for my people. Amen. And indeed, there will come a time when we'll have to give an account of what we did, how we used our finances, how we used our time, how we used every resource that God gave us. There will come a time we'll have to give an account. I don't know what your story is going to be on that day. Will it be a joyous story? Will it be something that you look back to and say, glory be to God? Will it be something that you look back to and say, yes, I thank God that I listened to what he had to say and see how many people have received salvation through my acts and through the works of God? I'll take a moment again to read the word of God. In Matthew chapter 25, if you have your Bibles ready, Matthew chapter 25, we will read verses 31 to 46. Jesus speaking, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and majesty, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. They'll be gathered for judgment. And he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right-hand side, and the goats on the left-hand side. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it for me.'" Amen. You did it for me. Amen. So Jesus is reminding us that what he is calling us to do is not just some random act. It's something that he's purposed that we do it for our brothers and sisters. People in need in this community. People who don't know the message of salvation. People who are today living without food. People who today have not experienced love. People who today don't know the Jesus that we worship. He's calling on you and me that we give and meet the needs of such people. And then he will say to those on his left, "Leave me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will reply to them, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these, you did not do it for me. I assure you, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of these, the least of these, you did not do it for me.' And then these unbelieving people will go away into eternal and ending punishment. But those who are righteous and in the right standing with God will go by his remarkable grace into eternal unending life." Amen. What does your lifestyle today look like? I want you to think about this seriously. And I'm not talking about the offering. I'm not talking about the money that you give to the work of God here. I'm talking about your whole self. every single part of you. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your work. I'm talking about everything about you. Is it given up to this God? Or is it only part of you? Are you giving your whole self to God? Because God is looking for people who will give sacrificially. Amen. God is looking for people who will give so that his work will be done. Amen. People who will be committed to worship this God sacrificially. Amen. He's not just looking for your money to take it away from you. God does not rob his people. God blesses his people. Amen. God multiplies what his people have. God wants to make you prosper. And that is why he's calling on you to give sacrificially. He's asking you to give completely, to give your whole self to him. Amen. Not just a part of you. He's looking for the whole of you. Amen. When you turn up in church and we are singing to this God, we are worshiping this God, how much of your voice do you give to him? How much of your worship do you give to him? How much of your heart do you give this God? How much of what you have are you giving to this God? I do hear that clock ticking in my head all the time. And I feel the urgency in my life. I feel the urgency in my home. I feel the urgency every single day. I feel the urgency of doing something great for God. Amen. And I want you to hear that clock every day ticking in your head, in your mind. Whatever you're doing, that clock is ticking. God is asking you to do something for you, for his glory. That clock is ticking because God wants you to experience his greatness. Amen. He wants you to experience his blessings. Amen. It's not clicking to ticking to scare you. It's ticking because this God is a God of love. He desires to bless you. He desires to multiply your home just like he did with Abraham. He desires for you to experience the greatness of his blessings. Amen. And so today, as that clock is ticking, I want you to think about this. What is your heart giving to God? Let's pause for a minute. How much of you are you giving to God? Is there a part of you that is completely withheld from God? Is there a part of you that has not got any idea who Jesus is? Is there a part of you that does not know his love? Is there a part of you that does not belong to Jesus today? Thank you, God, that you give your all. And as Jesus died on the cross, oh Father, you just decided to pour out your love on this earth, oh Lord Jesus, that we will experience your greatness, Father. And today we know that your hand is at work, healing the sick, restoring that which the enemy has stolen from us, Lord Jesus. And I know that you are here today, oh Father. And I know that you bring conviction in our hearts, oh Father. And the enemy's agenda is to bring condemnation, Lord. Your word today, oh Father, is to cause us, oh Lord, to re-examine our lives, oh Father, so we can turn back to you, Lord Jesus. You desire that our hearts will be committed to you. You desire that our hearts, oh Lord Jesus, will be dedicated to you, oh Father. That, Lord, our lives will be a sacrifice that glorifies your name, Lord Jesus. And today, Lord Jesus, we lay our hearts before you. Tracy, can you guys join me, please? What part of your life is not committed to God? I don't know your story. You know your story very, very well, and God knows it. On that day of judgment, it will be me and God and you with God, and you, your story, will be there for God to see and explain. You'll be there to have to give an account of yourself. I won't be able to account for you. My responsibility today is to bring his word and explain to you what his word says. But that decision of what button you press there, of giving yourself to God or not, is your personal decision. And so as we look to this, Jesus, as we start to re-examine our lives, I want us to sing this song that we're going to share right now. And then I will come back and we will wrap up this message. But I want you to think about this very seriously. What part of your life is withheld from God?